नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एज इट इज 18 चैप्टर द परफेक्शन ऑफ रिनंसिएशन टेक्स्ट 63। इति ते ज्ञानमाख्यातम् गुह्याद् गुह्यतरम् मया विमृश्य इतेद् अशेषेण यथेच्छसि तथा कुरु। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। दस आई हैव एक्सप्लेन टू यू नॉलेज स्टिल मोर कॉन्फिडेंशियल। डेलिबरेट ऑन दिस फुल्ली एंड देन डू व्हाट यू विश टू डू। पर्पट The Lord has already explained to Arjun the knowledge of Brahma Bhuta. One who is in the Brahma Bhuta condition is joyful. He never laments, nor does he desire anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the super soul. This is also Brahman knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Here the words yathechasi tatha kuru, as you like, you may act, indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjun is to surrender unto the super soul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the super soul. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the supreme personality of Godhead is the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. Om Ajnati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातम् सगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं हरिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So at the very outset, I would like to welcome everyone to our Sunday feast program at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. I am really considering myself to be very fortunate that I have this service given to me to do some Krishna Katha in this very, very auspicious month of Damodar, Kartik Mas. So it's a rare, rare privilege. So I am indeed grateful to the temple authorities for giving me this opportunity. Today happens to be Dhanatrayodashi, and it is amazing that all of you are not in Jhaveri Bazaar buying diamonds or gold. But please note that you have not committed mistake. You have come to Radha Gopinath Mandir. Here also you will get dhan, but that dhan will be Golokera Premadhana, Harinama Sankirtan. So you are not losing out by being in the temple on this very, very auspicious day. So in this particular extraordinary verse, Lord Krishna is giving an option to Arjun. He is giving him a choice. Yatha ichchasi tatha kuru. That means when there is an option, then only question of choice comes, right? In an examination, when you have multiple questions, you know, you have to choose one particular correct answer, tick mark, and you get the marks or whatever it is. So Krishna is giving a choice to Arjun. And in material life also, we understand that we have to constantly make choices, isn't it? Now, the only stage when perhaps we don't have to make any choice is when we are small babies, you know, infant in arms, where we know only the art of crying, and the elders, the mother or the father, they make a choice for us. But as we start growing, we keep on making choices. Even a small child will, you know, make an option. He will say that, oh, I want this lollipop, or, you know, I want this ice cream, I want choco cream, this, that. Starts making, you know, exhibiting his capacity to choose things. So it starts right from childhood. And then as we grow older, everyday life, practical life, we have to keep on making choices every moment, isn't it? Which bus to catch, which train to catch, we make these choices. Which school, you know, should my child go to, which college, or, you know, which career should opt for, medical, engineering or MBA, whatever. So this way we start, you know, choosing. Then which friend should I select or choose, with whom I will be very happy? Then, you know, which job, which house, which locality, 1 BHK, 2 BHK, 3 BHK or whatever. Or then the crucial one, which life partner I should select, wife or a husband. So which shares I should invest in. It's continuous making some choice or the other at any given moment. That's human life, that is human material life. So in spiritual life also, we have to continuously make choices. Depending upon, you know, what progress we have made in our spiritual life, the decisions become more and more sensitive and more crucial as time ticks by. Now, this particular verse, why is it so significant? Itite jnanam akhyatam guhyat guhyataram maya. Krishna is saying that, you know, I have given you the most secret of secret knowledge, and now it is up to you. Yatha ichchasi tatha kuru. Now why I consider this verse as very, very significant and very, very important. Not because I am speaking on it, but even otherwise, it's a very significant verse. Why? Because people in general, who have poor fund of knowledge, they have a propensity to think that Krishna is an autocrat. He's an autocrat. He's a dictator. He's me-centered. Me-centered, you know. And And why not? Why not? Some people who have no knowledge, spiritual knowledge, they are bound to think like this. Because in Bhagavad Gita, there are several verses which to an ignorant man would look me-centered, I-centered. Now, just a few samples of Bhagavad Gita course. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. Now, aham sarvasya prabhavo. Now, Krishna declares, that I am the source of spiritual and material worlds. And everything emanates from me. So, statement number one from Krishna, which non-devotees misunderstand. Then, matta parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. Mai sarvam idam protam sutre manigana iva. Matta parataram na anyat. So Krishna is making a statement here that Arjun, there is no truth superior to me. I am param satya. I am the supreme truth. Which is a fact, which is true. But he is saying here, I am that. And that could be misunderstood by ignorant people. Then elsewhere, he says, Manmana bhavamat bhakto madhyaji mam namuskaru. Mame vashyasi satyam te pratijani priyosime. Now, if you carefully analyze this verse, there are six me's in it. There are six times Krishna says, me, I, mine. So, always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage to me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise this because you are my dear friend. Six me's. Six times he is saying me. So anybody would commit this error, you know. And then he says, Sarva dharman parityajya. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. So, aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami mashuchaha. So Krishna states, this is virtually the key statement in Bhagavad Gita. Says that, please give up all varieties, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. And me alone, mam ekam, I am alone, not anybody else, surrender to me. So this would look like a very, very, you know, egoistic statement from Krishna. So, is Krishna making, you know, false claims? False claims. Or is he exaggerating? Is he exaggerating, you know, his greatness? No. Not at all. Krishna, through all these verses, is very compassionately giving us the knowledge that we have in order to know whom to worship. Who is going to be our Aradhya Bhagavan? Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshatanaya Tad Dhama Vrindavanam. So, if you have to worship Krishna, unless Krishna himself explains to us, we would not know. And why has Krishna to explain to us, nobody else? Because Krishna is Adi Purusha. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda. So, he is the Adi Purusha. If he were not to compassionately explain to us about himself, how would we know? Therefore, he speaks Bhagavad Gita to Arjun. And ignorant people can misunderstand some of the statement, but they are all facts. These are all facts. Now, just to give a material example, if Pranab Mukherjee, he were to make a statement that, you know, I am president of India. Are you going to take him to a court of law? Yes, some politician is trying to take him to a court of law. But he is making a statement. If he makes a statement, I as the president, you know, I have the capacity to declare president's rule in such and such a state. Can we challenge that? No, that is his power as a president. So similarly, Krishna is very compassionately giving us this knowledge about himself. In no uncertain terms, Krishna has nothing to hide. He doesn't have to hide his greatness ever, because he is the original supreme personality of Godhead. There is no cause whatsoever why Krishna, you know, should camouflage his greatness. He can be absolutely, as they say, bold and blunt about it. And that's what he is doing in Bhagavad Gita. He is at many places. And this is not only the verdict of Bhagavad Gita. All the Shastras, Brahma Samhita says, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Then, what is that? So many others. Savai Pumsa Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Adokshaje. So many others. Statements in which the Shastra declares, Atapumbir Dvijashreshta Varnashrama Vibhagashah Swanushtitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. So, scriptures keep telling us that the worshipable Lord is only one, Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshataneya, no one else. So this very, very clear, emphatic understanding is there about Krishna. So now, from this particular verse that we are reading today, we have to understand, he says, Yatha Ichchisi Tatha Kuru. Now this one statement in this verse completely nullifies all the, you know, statements made by the ignorant people that Krishna is an autocrat. Just see. Now Krishna has laid on the plate of Arjuna through 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita all that needs to be known about attaining the Supreme. He has given information about Karma Yoga. He has given information about Jnana Yoga. He has given information about Ashtanga Yoga. And he has also given information about Bhakti Yoga. So, you have on your plate, on Arjuna's plate, there are so many, you know, tenets of Dharma. So many tenets of yoga systems that have been given on that. And Krishna has very, very painstakingly explained verse after verse. Remember, we are on the 18th chapter now. Verse after verse, all these wonderful ways to attain him. But he is not saying, Arjun, I want you to take Bhakti Yoga. This is my order. Take it or leave it. No. He is not saying that. What is he saying? He says that, Arjun, I have explained to you the most confidential knowledge. I have given you all the tenets, principles I have given you. Now, you have the freedom to make a choice. Yatha ichchasi tatha kuru. So this particular statement completely, you know, obliterates all the statements that non-devotees make about Krishna being an autocrat. So we have to understand that Krishna is actually supremely merciful democrat. You don't have to hold an election to get this democrat elected. So he is supremely merciful democrat. And therefore this particular verse is very, very significant. Yes, through Bhagavad Gita at several places, Krishna does glorify devotional service, bhakti mark. For example, he states in one verse, Bhaktyatu ananyaya shakyaham eva vidho Arjuna. Jnatum drushtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha ta parantapa. So he says that he is telling Arjun, if you want to see me as I am standing before you, then that is only by the process of devotional service. So Krishna is telling Arjun that yes, all these paths are there, but you know, this is the supreme path. It's an easy path. Take it up and come back to me. So this instruction is not only for Arjun, this instruction is for all of us. So bhakti is the only process by which we can go ahead in our spiritual life. Not that other paths are wrong or bad. Kleshaha adhikas taras tesham, Krishna says elsewhere. There is klesha in other paths. There are difficulties. So for the common man, it's very, very tough to take the shelter of other paths. So he says, therefore, take shelter of this bhakti yoga and then progress in spiritual life. This is the instruction. And then, like a true guru, Krishna is the Adi Guru. He is Sarva Karana Karanam. So he is cause of all gurus. So what is he saying? He is giving very beautiful advice to Arjun. Just like when we appear for an examination, our class teacher tells us, no, go through the question paper very, very carefully. And then, you know, decide, you know, which question you want to answer. That question which you can answer the best, you begin with that. At least these were the instructions that I got when I appeared for SSC. Once upon a time. So, this is how it is. So, what is Krishna telling Arjun? He says that, Asheshena Vimrusha Etat. He says that, Asheshena means fully deliberate on this. I have given you so much. I have given you so much knowledge. But you fully deliberate on that. And then, Yatha Ichchasi Tatha Karo. That means Krishna doesn't want Arjun to take up the path of bhakti in a, you know, like a, you know, Krishna is his hero, therefore, you know, he's accepting that. Like that many people do these days. No, such and such a hero, you know, is doing this, is having this haircut, so I'll also have it. Not like that. Krishna doesn't want Arjun, you know, to take up this path of bhakti. Just like that. He wants him to analyze all the things that have been given to him and then take up this path. It's a very beautiful instruction that Krishna is giving. And this is true for all of us also. We enter into the path of Krishna consciousness. We are not entering into it blindly. Because, you know, X, Y, Z has done. Tom, Dick and Harry has taken up this path, so I'll also take up. No, that's not it. I have to understand what is Krishna consciousness all about. Who is a true spiritual guru? What are the qualities of a disciple? How to go about Krishna consciousness? All this I have to understand. Vimrusha. You have to analyze everything fully and then take up the path. Then only we can progress in our spiritual lives. So that is the understanding of this. So this is the supremely compassionate democrat that is Krishna. Now a question may arise in our minds, and that would be a very valid question. Didn't Krishna in the second chapter, you know, interfere with Arjuna's choice? He did. Now Arjuna, when he came to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, one moment, you know, he declares very boldly. He says that, you know, please take this chariot in between the two armies. Ratham sthapaya me achyuta, he says. And then when he sees Bhishma and all that, then, you know, his near relatives, he develops karpanya dosha, he develops weakness of the heart, and then, you know, he drops everything. He says that, Krishna, do we really have to fight with our elders, you know, grandfather Bhishma and our teacher Drona? Do we really have to fight? Now, one moment he has declared, take my, you know, chariot, and next minute, you know, karpanya dosha. He is seized by weakness of the heart. So at that time, when Arjun talks of, you know, becoming a beggar, talks of going to a forest, says, what's the use of this, you know, kingdom with nobody, you know, nobody to share the opulence. All theoretically correct, all seem to be right thing, but Krishna tells Arjun very emphatically, he says that you are on a wrong track. He tells him, Klaibyam masma, masma gamah partha, na etat tvai upapadyate. He says that, O son of Pritha, do not yield to this degrading impotence. Now, Krishna is calling Arjun impotent. He is using very harsh words. Why? It's a wake-up call. He is telling Arjun that you give up your materialistic consciousness. You are now at the moment in materialistic consciousness. Give up that. You are not an ordinary person. You are a Pandava. You are a Kshatriya. You are here to fight for the sake of Dharma and, you know, defeat those who are on the path of Adharma. So you are here for a very valid cause. Now suddenly, why have you become, you know, impotent? Why are you seized with this Hridaya Daurbalya? Give it up. So Krishna has interfered in one sense with the choice of, you know, Arjuna that he made. At that time he didn't say, do what you like. He said, fight. Take up your arms and fight, Arjuna. This is your duty as a Kshatriya, you have to fight. Now from this we have to understand that a spiritual authority has the right to help his disciple to make a proper choice. Right? When the spiritual authority decides or realizes, decides that, you know, that his student or whosoever is dependent on him doesn't have the capacity to make proper choice, it's up to the spiritual authority to guide the person correctly. So Krishna guides Arjuna through that very, very difficult phase when Arjuna is totally confused. He is totally bewildered. And he expresses confusion in a very beautiful verse in the second chapter. He says, Karpanya dosho upahat svabhava pruchhami tvam dharma sammuda cheta yashreyasyatmishchitam ruhitanme shishyaste shadimam tvam prapannam. He says that I am confused, O Krishna. I do not know what is my duty. And I have lost all composure. I am totally confused. Because of weakness. I am asking you to tell me clearly. You please tell me, O Krishna, what is best for me. Now I am a soul surrendered to you. Please instruct me. So, in this very beautiful verse, we see the transition of Arjun from being a friend of Krishna to a disciple of Krishna. So becomes a disciple and takes instruction. So when we are in a confused state of consciousness, we are not able to make the right choices in life. At that time, we need guidance. It's not that always we can make a choice. Yeah, you have passed your 12th standard and then, you know, you do not know whether I have to go for medical or whether, you know, I have to go. No, I like biology as well as I like mathematics. So maybe, you know, I should become a doctor. No. Maybe, you know, I should become an engineer. We are confused. So maybe at that point in time, you know, your elder will tell you, go for an aptitude test. No, go for a vocational guidance or whatever. So when we are in a confused state of mind or confused state of consciousness, we need definitely spiritual guidance to make the right choice. We need it. We should never ever think that, you know, we are so independent, you know, I don't need anybody's guidance. At any given point in time, we need guidance of our parents, we need guidance of the spiritual master, we need guidance of our well-wishers to do the right thing. When you make the right choice, you do the right thing also. So therefore, we have to take guidance. So Arjuna took this guidance and he honorably, you know, fought as a Kshatriya in the war. And then of course, he became victorious by Krishna's mercy and by Krishna's blessings. So it's very, very important. So the point one is trying to make here is that sometimes we may not know what is the right thing to do. There is a very interesting story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll narrate it very briefly. The story is, it is in the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's about Priyavrat. Priyavrat. Priyavrat was actually the son of Swayambhuva Munu, the elder son of, you know, Swayambhuva Munu. Other son was Uttanapada. Anyway, so this Priyavrat, he was a very, very accomplished and a great, you know, great personality. But he wanted to renounce everything. So he renounced everything and he went to Gandhamadan Mountains to perform austerities, where under the guidance of Devarshi Narad, he meticulously performed, you know, his spiritual sadhana, and he reached a very, very high transcendental stage, you know, of knowledge. Now, when he was in this state of knowledge, what happened was that the planet Earth had no one to rule. No emperor, no king to rule. So therefore, Swayambhuva Manu came to this particular mountain, Gandhamadan Mountain, and there he met with his son, Priyavrat, and he told him that it's all right, you know, you are on transcendental platform, you know, you are performing spiritual activities, but we need you. We want you to return to household life. we want you to return to household life. And what was the reaction of Priyavrat? Priyavrat had made a choice already. He had made a choice and gone from material life to spiritual life. And now his father is telling him, revert. Go back to material life. He did not appreciate it at all. Of course, according to the Vedic tradition, he was very, very respectful towards his father. He did not say, father, get out. He didn't say that. He was very respectful. But he was skillfully, you know, trying to get out of this. He wanted to be, you know, he wanted to pursue his spiritual activities. Especially when, you know, he had been instructed by a guide like Narad Muni. But then, when he did not respond to his father's request, there arrived Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma arrived on a swan carrier and he descended on the Gandham Madan mountain, and there he talked to this Priyavrat. He told him, I know that what you are doing is the highest that any living entity can aspire for, but you are needed. You have a service to perform. You have a service to perform. In one of the Bhagavatam classes that we heard on Brahma Vimohan Leela, we heard a very beautiful statement that every living entity has a role to play. But greater than the role one has to play is the goal. Goal is more important than the role. Role is not unimportant. You do it the very best. What you are doing is very good, wonderful. But for the running of the universal affairs, it is necessary that you quit what you are doing and come, go back to household life and be the emperor of planet Earth. This is also not just my will, this is the will of the divine. So the Lord also wants it. Then of course, he had no choice to make. So he agreed and went back to household life. So we can see therefore that sometimes, even if we have made a choice, so-called right choice, still, because of a superior spiritual authority, we may have to change. We may have to adjust to do, you know, to towards realizing the goal, the greater, you know, objective, rather than individual glory. Yes, if Priyavrat had, you know, perfected his spiritual life, he would have become glorious. But he gave up that particular glory and did his service, which is even more glorious. So very, very important. Then we also have the example of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was a son of a multi billionaire in those years. We are talking about 500 years ago. Extraordinarily rich. And he had a beautiful wife. He had parents. Everything going nice materially. But he had no attraction for material life. What was his choice? His conscious choice was to run to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take shelter of his lotus feet. That was his choice. He was not attracted to what was being offered to him. Whereas his parents wanted him to be in material consciousness, enjoy material life. He had everything going, beautiful wife, everything that he could have, any materialistic person aspires for, everything was going for him. But then he had made his choice. He wanted to go to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So every opportunity, he would try to run away from home. Every now and then, you know, he would just make an attempt. And most of the attempts, you know, were futile. Because, you know, his father, you know, Govardhan Mujumdar, he had employed, you know, some guards who would chase after him, catch him and bring him back. He was like a prisoner in his father's house. Not prisoner in the traditional sense, but he was not allowed to do what he wanted to do. Then once, you know, he got permission to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shantipur. Then, with father permission, he went there and he fell at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya said that, you know, I now don't want to go away from you. I want to be with you only. At that time, what did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tell him? He said, you should pretend in an external way to be completely attached to pounds, shillings and pence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you appear externally to be attached to money, wealth, all the position that your father, your parents want to give you. But in your heart, you should always be meditating on Krishna. And if you act in this way, very soon Krishna will show his mercy, shower his mercy on you. So now, for the moment now, go back. No choice. He had made a choice, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu altered the choice, at least for the time being, and then he was asked to go back. And years later, he left his household, then took shelter of Nityanand Prabhu, then eventually he took shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Raghunath Goswami is one of the greatest renunciants that we can think of. He is our Prayojana Acharya. Prayojana Acharya. So his renunciation is remarkable. Something that cannot be, you know, imitated by anyone. So it's a very lengthy topic. We won't go into it. But suffice it to say that the Lord can sometimes intervene and change our choice. So the question now arises is how to make a choice. How to make a choice. Now, we are not on the exalted platform of Arjun or Priyavrat or, you know, anybody else. We are not on that platform, or Raghunath Goswami. But we can certainly follow the path of Shreyas that is advocated in Bhagavad Gita. There are two things which can help us to make our choice. One is prayers, the other one is Shreyas. What is prayers? Prayers is that which may feel good, sound good, may give immediate pleasure, but in the end, it is not the right thing to do. It is painful in the end. Whereas Shreyas may involve lot of painful things, painful endeavor in the beginning, but eventually it will be nectarian. So that's Shreyas. So Arjun is asking, Yashreyasyan nishtitam bruhitanme. Arjuna is saying, please tell me, O Krishna, what is Shreyas for me? What is good for me? So we can follow the path of Bhagavad Gita and take up that which is, you know, Shreyas, that which is good ultimately, even if it involves lot of, you know, endeavor. Now, sometimes, you know, we get attracted to, you know, immediate things, prayers. A child, you know, will get attracted to playing cricket. Whole day he wants to play cricket. Going to school, studying, homework, this is disgusting. I don't want to do it. So what is the result? The child, you know, gets happiness while playing cricket, but fails in the exam and rots in the same class year after year. So that's not what is desired. But what would be Shreyas? The child forgoes pleasure, studies hard, acquits himself well in the exam and gives pleasure to himself and to his parents. That would be Shreyas. So it's a material example. So similarly, you know, sitting before a TV or in a cinema house, you know, watching, you know, some film or something like that, may be, you know, pleasurable, may be prayers. But coming here to Shri Radha Gopinath, sitting here in this audience, you know, and hearing, coming, taking the trouble of traveling by bus, train, but then it is Shreyas. Eventually it is for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it's worth doing. So to make a choice, therefore, we can always be guided by this principle of Bhagavad Gita. And then also be guided by what Srila Rupa Goswami tells us. So that which is anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam, that which is anukula for spiritual life, that we accept, even if we don't like it, we make a choice of that, we accept it. And then something that is pratikula, which is not favorable for our spiritual life, we don't choose it, even if it is very, very attractive. Sounds very pleasurable, but we don't choose it. So this is the way we can make a choice. So we spiritual life that we have accepted, even Krishna consciousness, it's not a cakewalk. We may think that it is very simple. We are coming, we are dancing, we are, you know, doing. But you know, there are so many, you know, principles. We have to follow the four regulative principles very meticulously, right? We have to chant, you know, the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So chanting is there. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So we may find this until such time as we develop a liking for spiritual life, we may find this to be some kind of an ordeal. But these are regulative principles to be followed. This is part of sadhana bhakti, which has been handed down to us by the Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. So we accept it as shreyas and try to follow it very nicely. So I was just thinking that, I don't know about you, but many of us have been, we did not consciously make a choice of Krishna consciousness. We did not say that, you know, it's not that one day we just, you know, got up from sleep and said, from now onwards, you know, I am going to be in Krishna consciousness. How many of you have made such a choice? I didn't. We were pushed into Krishna consciousness by the mercy and desire of some devotee, by the mercy and will of the Supreme Lord Krishna, by the grace of Guru. Anybody who is making other claims is, I think, bordering on boasting platform. So basically we have been pushed into it. Now, talking of pushing, I remember a story which I'd like to share with you. Now there are this multi millionaire, and he had a beautiful daughter. He wanted his daughter to be very nicely settled down. You can't blame a father. Every father wants daughter to settle down. So he thought that, you know, I must get a very, very competent person to marry my daughter. So he set up a contest. Just like in olden days, you know, Drupad Maharaj set up a contest for, you know, winning his daughter Draupadi. Similarly, he set up a contest. He said he gathered all the suitors, prospective suitors, on the bank of a pond which was full of sharks. And he said that anybody who can swim across this, you know, water full of sharks, he gets my daughter and he gets half my assets, half my wealth. Says that, any takers? No takers. Not a single person, you know, volunteered that I want to jump. Nobody, not a single person volunteered. And then suddenly there was a splash. And a young man, you know, handsome young man, you know, frantically, you know, he was swimming through the whole thing and he somehow or the other reached the other end. So there was a reception committee, this millionaire and everybody, you know, waiting there to receive him. To receive this young man. They said, congratulations, young man. You have won my daughter's hand. You have won all my, you know, half my property. Congratulations. What was the young man's reaction? He said, like this. He said, it's okay. What you are saying is okay. But first tell me who pushed me into the water. Now, that was his reaction. Now, many of us have been pushed into Krishna consciousness. But is our reaction going to be like this? Let me see, you know, who pushed us into Krishna consciousness? No. We are going to be eternally grateful to that devotee to that Shiksha Guru, to that spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada, who gave us shelter of Krishna consciousness. To the end of our last breath, we are going to remain grateful to such an individual. So it's very, very important that we acknowledge the role that has been played by some devotee who brought us. Maybe that person himself is no longer so much, you know, attached to Krishna consciousness. Maybe, you know, there is some deterioration in his standards. But nevertheless, that person brought us. Because of that person, we first entered into this temple and saw the beautiful Archa Vigra forms of Shri Radha Gopinath. So we remain eternally grateful to him. We never condemn such an individual, isn't it? That's how it is. So that is how we have to think about this. So we should remain eternally grateful to those who have given us this matchless gift of Krishna consciousness. So why is Krishna consciousness so precious? And why should we be eternally indebted to Srila Prabhupada? It's a very serious question. Now, because we living entities, all of us living entities, we made a wrong choice to begin with. We made a wrong choice to begin with. Now, once upon a time there was a stage when all of us living entities, we were living with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world, in Golok Vrindavan. We were living with him as his servants and we were enjoying with him. What is the swarupa? What is the constitutional position of a living entity? Jivera swarupa hai Krishnera nityadas. That is our constitutional position. And there was a time when we lived with the Lord, serving him, and we enjoyed with him. In the same way as there is an air-conditioned car which an owner has, and the driver who didn't buy the car also enjoys the air conditioning. Right? He has not bought the car, but the owner has bought the car, but he is enjoying the air conditioning. So similarly, we were with the Supreme Lord Krishna as his das, as his servants, and we were enjoying with him. And then Krishna is abhijna, Krishna is swarat, Krishna is fully independent. And because we are his part and parcels, mamayam ausha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, we are his aushas. So we also have tiny weeny independence. So we decided to use our independence and we decided to enjoy separately from Krishna. That was the wrong choice we made. We had a choice of serving Krishna and being with him, and we had a choice of being away from Krishna. And therefore Krishna said, okay, if that's your wish, if that's your desire, I'm with you, go. So we made a wrong choice, and because of that wrong choice, we are in this material world. Srila Prabhupada in Srimad Bhagavatam has written extensively on this. And he says that it is only because of our wrong choice that we are in this material world. And once you forget Krishna, then you get caught up in the material world. What is that verse? Krishna bhuli jiva bhoga vancha kare, nikatastha maya tare jhapati adhare. Krishna bhuli, when you forget Krishna, then maya ever ready to pounce upon you and catch hold of you. So we wanted to forget Krishna's, you know, association, and we wanted to separate from him and enjoy separately from him, and then maya caught hold of us. We got, you know, trapped in this material body. made up of three gunas, sattva, raja, tama, and we are there, continuing, you know, life after life. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatare shayanam, goes on. Life after life, the cycle of birth and death goes on. So until such time as we find a savior guru who pulls us out of this cycle of birth and death, we are there very much tapped in it. So because we made a wrong choice, we are in this material world. So how important it is to make the right choice. And it's like, no, you want to go to Virar. So you have to get into a Virar train. Instead of that, you know, you get into a train which takes you to Badlapur or something like that. So you don't want to go to Badlapur, you want to go to, you know, Virar. So you caught hold of, got into a wrong train. So similarly, if we take shelter of a wrong process of God realization, or we take shelter of not a bona fide guru, not the right process, we are on a wrong train, so we will not reach our destination. So it's extremely important to make the right choice, now, whether it is a train or anything else, or even prasad for that matter. So if you eat the wrong things, you know, then you get, you know, dysentery this particular season. We have to beware, or you get, you know, what is that, dengue fever or whatever. So you have to be very, very alert. We have to make the right choice at any given time. Extremely important. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have several role models who were in a very difficult situation but made the right choice. We have the example of Chitraketu Maharaj. Now Chitraketu Maharaj was a surrendered devotee, totally surrendered to the Supreme Lord. And he once, you know, said something to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva did not mind, but Parvati, you know, took it as an affront, you know, this described in Bhagavatam. And Parvati cursed Chitraketu. He said that you be born as a demon. Now, our Chitraketu Maharaj was a very exalted devotee. He had the power to counter-curse Parvati also. But what did he do? With folded hands, he offered his obeisances to Parvati Devi and he said, Mother, I accept this curse as grace of the Lord. So, Chitraketu did not indulge in this natural propensity to get annoyed and angry. He did not say, don't you know I am a pure devotee of the Lord and how dare you curse me? No. He made the right choice. He took a very humble position and, you know, then Lord Shiva said, see how great these Vaishnavas are. You give them heaven or hell, you know, they are always humble. That's Lord Shiva's appreciation of a Vaishnava. So that's Chitraketu. Then Parikshit Maharaj, such a great personality. Vishnu Rath, who saw the Lord in the womb of his mother. Such a great personality. And then he's cursed by a chit of a boy, you know, that Brahman Shringi, for what he perceived as an offense to his father. And Shringi cursed Parikshit Maharaj. And when the father came to know, Shami Krishi came to know about the curse, he got very annoyed. He said, what have you done? Parikshit Maharaj is not just an ordinary emperor or a king, he is a pure devotee. Why have you cursed him? But what was the reaction of Parikshit Maharaj? He said, I deserve this curse. I have done some improper act, but you know, I deserve this and I'll take it as grace of the Lord. Most certainly, Parikshit Maharaj had the capacity to curse, counter curse, but he didn't do it, accepted as grace of the Lord. It's a very, very beautiful point that when we feel that, you know, some injustice has been done to us, we react. Now we react either with words or with, you know, if you have sufficient brawn, you know, he might get into, you know, fist cuff fight or whatever. But the right reaction is to take it in our stride. Take it in our stride and then deal with it very nicely. So also Narad Muni, we have the example of Narad Muni. No, he was cursed by Daksha Prajapati because his sons Prachetas were being, you know, guided spiritually by Narad Muni. He wanted, you know, his sons to become, you know, Prajapatis, procreators, wanted them to settle down in, you know, Grahastha Ashram. And Narad Muni, by his spiritual potency, was weaning them away, you know, and taking them to spiritual life. Daksha Prajapati got very angry. He told Narad Muni, you'll never settle down at a given place. No, you'll always be, you know, on the move. Narad Muni said, thank you very much. And that's what he's doing. Narayana, Narayana, going from place to place. And what a great preacher Narad Muni is. So that's how great personalities deal, you know, when they are in a very difficult situation or in a very critical situation. So for us, the most important role model is Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Now Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar temple. He had become already famous as a sannyasi, was very, very erudite. Therefore the name Bhaktivedanta Swami. Very erudite personality. He had already written, you know, Bhagavad Gita. He had already written, you know, 3 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. And he was respected by each and every person in Vrindavan. So he could have continued on. He was already, you know, in his 60s. Who would have said anything to him if he decided to continue on and on? But no, he made a choice. And the right choice for us. Huh? So he decided to act on the order of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and embarked on a sea voyage full of, you know, so many difficulties. He had heart attacks, nausea, vomiting, all that. He went through all that. He left the precincts of the peaceful spiritual atmosphere of Radha Damodar to go to the Boweries of New York, filled with filth and also filled with hippies. But he transformed the hippies into happies, founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, started so many temples. He started ISKCON, because of which we are all here. At least I am here because of that. Why would I be sitting here and talking to you today? All because of Srila Prabhupada. So he's our role model. So he made the right choice. And what was his prayer while he was on the, you know, cargo ship, Jaladuta, going to America? He says, Aniyache yadi Prabhu amare nachate, nachao nachao Prabhu nachao semate, kashter putli jatha nachao semate. He's saying, O Lord, I'm just a puppet. I'm just a puppet in your hands. So, if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. I will dance, and O Lord, make me dance as you like. So this is the mood of a surrendered, pure devotee who says, do as you like with me, O Lord, I am all yours. Ashlisheva padaratam pinastumam adarshanam narmahatam karotuva. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says that whether you, he is the Supreme Lord himself, he says, whether you embrace me, whether you kick me, I am eternally your servant. So do what you want with me. So being a puppet in the hands of the Supreme Lord is the best choice that we can make. We can make many choices in our life, material, spiritual, but the best choice that we can make is that surrender to the spiritual master, surrender to the Lord, and That's the choice which will help us to make progress in spiritual life. So in one of his classes, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was once describing, he was saying that if you sit on the bank of a river, the river which is moving, you'll see, you know, foam sometimes. You see, go to Ganges, you see sometimes it's foam. Sometimes, you know, you see bubbles. External, the exterior of the river is, you know, not very pleasing. But underneath, there is tranquil, you know, water, cool water underneath the river. So our material life is like that. So many, you know, bubbles of material attraction and so much foaming at the mouth, you know, due to hard labor, so many things. But if we delve deep within our hearts and be conscious of the Paramatma within, and, you know, if we dedicate, you know, if we simply dedicate our lives for our spiritual uplift, then, you know, we can actually feel the depth of the river where the cool, tranquil waters, you know, are flowing. So we need not be attracted to the foam and bubbles of material life. We can make our choice and be attracted to the reality, the real reality, that is spiritual life. So we can understand our, you know, spiritual need. So Radhanath Swami Maharaj was saying that, do we want to be puppets in the hands of Maya, or do we want to be puppets in hands of Krishna? That's a choice all of us have to make. And that choice is not just once, because at this minute, you know, I have made a choice. You know, I am going to be a puppet in hands of Radha Gopinath. But I go out, you know, within 2 minutes, you know, Maya has such allurements that within 2 minutes, you know, I become a puppet in the hands of Maya. So it requires a very, very conscious effort on our part to be always a puppet in the hands of the Lord. Puppets in the hands of Radha Krishna, not a puppet in hands of Maya. It's very, very important. So, speaking for myself, even after, you know, spending so many years in Krishna consciousness, chanting 16 rounds, you know, trying to associate with devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, still, I find that making a right choice is always a challenge. I don't know whether it is for you, but for me, yes. So I'm speaking for myself. So it's a challenge. And all the time, it's a challenge, right? So, making a choice between chanting mechanically, ritualistically, and chanting with absorption, with attention and love in my heart. Every day of our life, we have to make that conscious choice. Then, saying yes to attachments, material attachments, or saying no to material attachments, we have to make a conscious choice. Now see the story of Bharat Maharaj. Very instructive story. Bharat Maharaj gave up his entire kingdom. He was the emperor of earth. Gave up the entire kingdom. Gave up his wife, gave up all possessions, and, you know, he detached himself and went to Madhuvan, and he was practicing, you know, so sincerely principles of Krishna consciousness. He was on the Bhava platform, doing everything wonderfully well, and then develops attachment for the young one of a deer. He becomes so attached to the young one of the deer that he forgot the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness. So he said yes to Maya. He said yes to Maya. Somehow or the other, on the basis of, you know, his perceived kindness to animals, you know, Jivedaya. It's not wrong, it's right. He, on his perceived, you know, consciousness, he developed attachment for the deer. Then he forgot all about his Krishna consciousness. You keep wondering, you know, where is my deer? You know, where has it gone? I hope it has not been eaten by a lion. That way he started worrying. So, we, all of us, can develop some attachment for something, though we are in Krishna consciousness. Now I am speaking for myself. So we develop this, and we have therefore got to be on red alert all the time. Whether, you know, I am saying no to Maya or whether I am saying yes to Maya. Nobody else can come and tell you. You yourself to understand. Of course, we are more fortunate than Bharat Maharaj. Why? Bharat Maharaj had no association in the forest. If he had association, somebody would have told him, Prabhu, both ho gaya. Enough is enough. Is this your attraction and attachment for deer? Abhi both ho gaya. Now stop it. Now come back to what you are doing. Some devotee would have told him, but he didn't have. But then Bharat Maharaj was fortunate in other ways. Krishna gave him memory of his previous lives, gave him memory of, you know, his life as a deer, and eventually he became a liberated person right from birth as Jada Bharat. So he was fortunate in other ways. So that is the choice. Then, you know, making a choice between associating with those devotees who glorify you all the time. Oh, Prabhu, what a wonderful devotee you are, you know. I have yet to come across a devotee like you. You know, we feel, very nice, Ach. I am that. Whether you should associate with such people who glorify you, or, you know, whether you should associate with those devotees who are very sincere and serious about their spiritual life and will not hesitate to correct you out of their compassion. That choice we have to make. All the time, even if you have spent one day in Krishna consciousness or 20 years in Krishna consciousness, valid at any given point in time. Okay, then criticizing devotees, we may say that we don't criticize, but we have this tendency, you know, that the inborn, you know, we have that inborn tendency to criticize. So whether we are criticizing people or, you know, whether we are appreciating, you know, qualities in some person, that choice we have to make. Then if a service is given to me, whether, you know, I am trying to escape it in some way, you know, in a very, very nice way, you know, subtle way, you know, I run away from that service. Nobody else knows. Krishna knows or Guru knows that, you know, this service was given to you, but, you know, you try to go around it, you know, in some ways. Whether, you know, I am doing that or whether, you know, I want to serve sincerely, from the core of my heart. That choice we have to make. Then whether, you know, I am speaking sweet words or whether, you know, I am rough and tough. Now, because we are devotees, it doesn't mean that we have to be rough and tough in our talk and in our behavior. So whether I am this or whether I am that, the choice we have to make. Then whether, you know, I am shirking responsibility or taking up responsibility. As devotees, every one of us has responsibility. We have to not only progress ourselves in Krishna consciousness, but we also have to spread the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So are we doing that? Are we shirking our responsibility? Or when a situation arises, are we remaining silent when there is no need for us to be silent? A case in point is that of Uttanapad, King Uttanapad. Now Dhruva Maharaj is begging for a seat on his lap, and his stepmother Suruchi chastises Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj has to take it lying down. And Uttanapad remains silent. He doesn't take the responsibility of telling Suruchi, Suruchi, Dhruva is as much my son as the other, your son Uttam. Both are my sons. He has a right to sit on my lap. But Uttanapad is silent. So sometimes, to shirk responsibility, we may decide, we may opt, you know, for remaining silent. That's also not the right thing to do. And then, if I have a reversal, do I blame Krishna? Or do I take it as his mercy? We are not on the exalted platform of Kunti Devi, who welcomed, you know, obstacles in spiritual life. But nevertheless, are we taking it as grace of the Lord? Or are we, you know, trying to, you know, blame the Lord, you know, for whatever happens to us? So, His Holiness Radhanath Swami once said in his lecture that till last breath, we have to make a conscious choice.
whether we are saying yes to Maya or whether we are saying yes to Krishna. That choice we have to make. We have the example of Srila Prabhupada. Till his last breath, he was dictating purports to Srimad Bhagavatam. The 13th chapter of the 10th canto is the last chapter for which he wrote, he dictated purport. He was feeble, he was just skin and bones, but he was, you know, dictating his purports. So he was saying yes to Krishna till his last breath. So we have such a wonderful example of our Param Guru just before us. So we have the freedom to make our choice. So let us pray at the lotus feet of Shri Radha Gopinath, Srila Prabhupada and spiritual master to empower us to make the right choice in our spiritual life, and let this Deepavali which is coming, let it be full of brightness and light, and not just light, electric lights, but pure blazing light of Krishna consciousness in everyone's heart. So with this prayer I would like to conclude my talk. Thank you very much. Anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free. Hare Krishna. If there are no questions, we will do kirtan.